Today, I'm going to start a brand new series, and I'm going to start sharing with you talking about how to hear God's voice. I tell you, this is so powerful. It's just amazing that Almighty God would take time to speak to each of us individually. But boy, He does. And I tell you, in my life, this has been a key. There are so many things that I could share with you about how God has spoken to me and directed me and has shown me pitfalls and problems that we're awaiting and has just, I mean, my whole life is all about God speaking to me. And I can trace it back to when I first got born again at 8 years old, but when I was 18 is when God really rang my bell and started speaking things to me. And since that time in 1968, my whole life is a result of hearing God's voice. And if the Lord hadn't have led me and spoken to me and given me the things that He's done, I guarantee you, I certainly wouldn't have ever been on television. I certainly wouldn't be ministering to people the way that I am. And this isn't just for ministers. This is for everyone. You know, let me start with the verse over here in Jeremiah chapter 10 and verse 23. And this verse is something that God spoke to me decades ago. And this has just become a foundation scripture in my life. But if you read it in its context, it's talking about the total destruction of Israel because they had rejected God, and therefore God was going to conquer the nation, send them into captivity. It talks about the terrible judgment, and in right in the middle of Jeremiah prophesying all of this, he just comes out, "No, God, how could this have happened? How could the people who were once so favored by You and so blessed by You ever come to a position where You forsook them and put them into slavery and took them as slaves into Babylon?" And he answers his own question, I believe, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit here in Jeremiah chapter 10, verse 23. And he says, "O Lord, I know that the way of man is not in himself. It is not in man that walketh to direct his steps." And this is how tragedy comes, is because God did not create us to be self-directed. Now, I believe that He gave us the privilege of that. He gave us that choice. God doesn't force us. We aren't robots. But God never created us to function independent of Him. And there's just so many scriptures. You know, over in Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5, "Trust in the Lord with all of your heart and lean not unto your own understanding. In all of your ways acknowledge Him and He shall direct your paths." That and just hundreds of other scriptures show that God intended for us to depend upon Him, to be led by Him, to be directed by Him. This is the way that God created us to be. And really, all of our problems come from being self-motivated, doing it our own way. You can go all the way back to the Garden of Eden, Adam and Eve. God had given them instructions that this is the way I want you to live. I do not want you to eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. They chose to do it their way. They thought they knew better than God. They thought if they ate of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, they would be better off. And so they did it their way and went against what God spoke to them. And that's what ushered the entire human race into all of the problems that we've got. So really, I believe that you could trace all of our problems. And I know that this is too simple for some people, but I think if you just peel back the layers, if you keep digging down, the root of all problems in our life is that we do things our own way. We do not listen to God. We don't follow His direction. Again, I could turn to many scriptures. I just was teaching from the book of Proverbs yesterday in our Bible school, and it was talking about that if we would heed the Word of God, we'd have long life, we would have a pleasant life, that God would direct our steps, it would keep us from trouble, that we would have blessing in our life, and on and on. And just, this is repeated so many times in Scripture, that if we would follow God's directions, that it leads to an abundant life. Jesus even said this in John chapter 10, verse 10. It says, "The thief cometh not, but for to steal, to kill, and to destroy. But I am come that you might have life, and that you might have it abundantly," more abundantly. And so Jesus came to give us an abundant life. John 16:33, in the world you're going to have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. And the Lord told us not to let our heart be troubled. And on and on and on it goes. There is an abundant life. There is a joy, a peace, a fulfillment that comes from following God. But how can you follow God if you don't know how to hear His voice? Man, that's a big statement right there. So what I want to do is to teach on how to hear God's voice. I've got a teaching on this. This is actually over 16 years old that I taught on it. I just went and listened to the introduction to it. And it was 16 years ago when I taught this. And the Lord has shown me so much more. I hadn't taught on this in a long time. So I just felt like this was an appropriate thing. And especially, you know, as we begin a new year, man, we need to make a decision that we're going to make this year count. And how do you do that? God's plans for you are better than your plans for yourself. You know, let me turn over here to Jeremiah chapter 29. And this is a familiar passage of Scripture to a lot of people. But Jeremiah chapter 29 and verse 11, it says, "For I know the thoughts that I think towards you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end." I think it's the NIV that says to give you a hope in the future. God has good plans for your life. God's never made a piece of junk. And it doesn't matter where you are. Doesn't matter what color your skin is. It doesn't matter what kind of situation you're in. If you're in a third world country and in the natural, it looks like, you know, what could God ever do with my life? God never created a failure. God's plans for you are good. God wants to use you in a powerful way. He wants to make your life abundant. And that is God's will. But it goes on to say in verse 12, "Then shall you call upon me, and you shall go and pray unto me, and I will hearken unto you, and you shall seek me and find me when you shall search for me with all your heart." Notice he didn't say that you shall seek me and find me, period. It says you shall seek me and find me when you shall search for me with all of your heart. One of the very first things about hearing the voice of God is you've got to desire to hear God's voice. God is a gentleman, and He is not going to force Himself upon you. You know, the Lord will not compel you, force you to follow Him and to do His things. God wants us to respond to Him out of love. The Lord will reveal Himself to you. He will make Himself known to you. But you have to seek. And when I hear people saying, "Well, I asked the Lord for direction and I didn't get it," this says, "You shall seek and find me when you shall search with all of your heart." When a person says, "I've asked the Lord and I don't hear from the Lord," all that says is that you didn't seek with all of your heart. God is faithful. I know God personally. I know that He is 100% faithful. It is never God that doesn't speak to us. But we are the ones that fail to hear from God because we aren't seeking with all of your heart. So one of the very first things you got to do is just to recognize that this is not something that God forces upon you. If you want to live your own way, if you want to live independent of God, He'll let you. Now, He will try and draw you to Himself. He'll send people across your path. Some of you may not recognize it, but that's what's happened today. God is reaching out and speaking. But you know, He won't force Himself upon you. You can change the channel if you want to. You can sit here and reject this and say, "Oh, this isn't true." But God is reaching out to you through me, through other things, through nature. It says in Psalms 19 that nature is crying out. It's lifting up its voice. It's speaking day and night. And God is trying to reveal Himself to you. The Lord is constantly trying to reach you, but He will not compel you. You have to seek, and you will find when you search with all of your heart. Another way of saying this is, as long as you can live without hearing God's voice, you will. But when you get to a place that, "God, I just realize that the way of man is not in himself. You didn't design me to direct my own path. You gave me the choice. I can choose to follow your leading or I can choose to do it my way, but you didn't design me to live independent of you. You made men to be dependent upon God." And if you get that commitment and say, "I want to know you, I want to hear your voice, and I'm going to seek you and I'm going to find you because I'm going to search with all of my heart. I am not going to quit until I hear." It's never God that's having problems speaking. And God is speaking to you constantly, But our heart can become hardened towards God so that we have a hard time hearing Him. Let me read these verses to you out of Mark chapter 4. This is where Jesus taught that parable about sowing seed in the ground, and there was only one out of four types of ground that actually produced the fruit. But it says, the disciples asked Him, and He says, why do you speak unto them in parables? And actually, I guess this is over in Matthew chapter 13. My television crew will have to put it up there. I'm not going to take time to turn over. But when He explained this in Matthew 13, He says, this people's heart is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing. And you know the very wording there, it says their heart is waxed gross. That is a word picture, and it describes the way that, you know, you made a candle in those days. You would take a wick and you would just dip it into hot wax and lift it out. You know, I've been to some of these places where they make candles the way that they used to do hundreds of years ago, and I've seen this process, and you just stick a wick down in hot wax and lift it out for just a second or two, and that wax kind of hardens on there, and then you dip it again and you put another layer and another layer, and eventually you get an entire candle around that wick. And so when it says that their heart has waxed gross, that's a word picture describing this process, that it doesn't happen all at once. Did you know that children, when they're young, they have an ability to, they're just simple, they're sincere, they're pure, and they can hear the voice of God. And so we come into this world, we do have a sin nature, but it isn't imputed, it's not really active until we willfully start rejecting God and activate that, and that's over in Romans chapter 7. But anyway, my point is that you start out with an ability to hear from God, but most of us let our hearts wax gross, just layer after layer after layer of insensitivity towards God. And then as it goes on to say in that verse, that their ears are dull of hearing. God is speaking to you 24 hours a day. God is constantly trying to reveal Himself and His will and His ways unto you, but our heart has waxed gross. This is exactly what it talks about in Proverbs chapter 3 and chapter 4, where it says, attend unto my words. That word attend in the Hebrew, it means to prick up the ears. And what this is talking about, it's a word picture of how an animal, you know, I have deer at my place, I've had horses all of my life, and these animals, when they hear something, well, you can see their ears just instantly prick up, and they can turn their ears and focus on where that sound's coming from to figure out what this is. And this is a word picture. The Scripture is saying that we need to prick up our ears. We need to tune our hearing towards God. God is speaking to you 24 hours a day, all of the time. There is never a time in your life that God hasn't tried to direct you. But our hearts have waxed gross. Our ears have become dull of hearing, not because of God, but because of us. And we need to recognize it's our hearing problem, not God's speaking problem. And we need to work on our hearing. Now, I think it's important to make this point, because when I start talking about hearing the voice of God, a lot of people say, well, God just doesn't speak to me. He does. He's speaking to you constantly. Let me show you these verses in John chapter 10. This was Jesus speaking. And in John chapter 10, verse 1, He says, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. But he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calleth his own sheep by name, and leadeth them out. And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. And a stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers. Now Jesus isn't really teaching about how to be a shepherd and how to shepherd sheep. He's using something that was a common experience for these people that they could relate to illustrate how that He was the good shepherd of the sheep. He goes on and says that down here in this chapter. But in the process of talking about this, He said His sheep, those people who are truly born again and belong to Him, they hear His voice. He says it twice. And one time he even says that they will not hear the voice of a stranger. So this is saying that God is speaking and that people who are truly born again do hear His voice. I'm going to make a statement here that will shock some of you. But you do hear the voice of God. And I know some of you are thinking, no way. I have never had God speak to me. Well, a lot of it's because we don't understand how God speaks. And I'm going to be teaching about this and showing you that in a sense, it's a subtle way. But you have heard the voice of God. Let me just say this, that every one of you at some time or another has had a decision about doing something. And you probably were receiving counsel from other people or just using the logic, the way that you'd been taught or whatever. And so logic said you go this direction, you make this choice, but your heart said to go this direction. So you went ahead and followed logic, you did these things, but you know what? You made a mistake and it didn't take very long until you saw that this wasn't the right thing. And when that happened, I bet you every one of you at some time has said, I knew I wasn't supposed to do that. You did something that was, you were following logic or following the leading of other people or being forced, coerced into it, but your heart was leading you another direction. You know what that was? That was God speaking to you. God spoke to you, but it didn't come like from an audible voice from heaven. It wasn't like a third person where He said, you should do this, but rather it was something that came up out of you and you just, I knew I was supposed to do something different. Did you know what that is? That's God speaking to you. And so just like the scripture here says, God speaks to us. It's not God who's not speaking, it's our hearing that has become dull. And so this is what I'm going to be talking to you about is how do you tune your heart? How do you get to where you recognize the voice of the Lord before you make the mistake, not afterwards? You know, hindsight's always 20/20. And looking back, many of us can see that, man, God said go this way, I went this way. And by looking at the disasters and the failures in our life, it's very obvious that we missed God and now we could see what we should have done. But how do you, in the future, keep from waiting until the mistake is made and then recognizing you made a mistake? How do you hear God's voice going forward? I tell you, this is something that could revolutionize your life. Over in John chapter 16, I believe it's verse 13, Jesus was talking about all of the benefits that would happen after He died and was resurrected and left this earth and sent back the Holy Spirit. And He was talking about how that it's actually, He said in verse 7, He said, nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send Him unto you. Jesus said it's actually better to have the ministry of the Holy Spirit with us than it is to have Him with us. You know, most people would think, oh no, I'd rather have Jesus in His physical person right here with me. But Jesus said it's better, it's expedient. That means it's to your advantage to have the Holy Spirit. And He talks about how that the Holy Spirit will convict us of sin. Boy, that is not the way that the church has basically represented it, where the Holy Spirit is there just constantly criticizing us and showing us what is wrong. I'm not going to teach on that right now, but it's not the way that most people have interpreted this. But He goes on to say in verse 13, He says, howbeit when He, the Spirit of truth, is come, He will guide you into all truth, for He shall not speak of Himself, but whatsoever He shall hear, that shall He speak, and He will show you things to come. Now think about this. If you could hear the voice of God, this is saying that this is the ministry of the Holy Spirit, is to speak to us and to show us things to come. If you could see problems and if the Holy Spirit could speak to you and show you things before they happen, just think about how that could benefit you. You know, most people think, I just can't believe that this is true. Most people are kind of like a blind man that is just walking through life, like a blind man walking through a house. If you are blind and if it's a house that you haven't memorized and you aren't familiar with, I can guarantee you, you're going to trip over furniture. You're going to run into walls. you are going to fall. You're going to hurt yourself. You're going to have a hard time getting around and finding anything if you were blind. And this is the way that most people go through life. It's kind of a word picture of how most people live their life. They just are going headlong every day doing something. They don't know for sure if this is what God told them to do. It's like a blind man. And you are going to run into a wall. You are going to trip over something. You're going to fall. You're going to break something. And this is what most people's life is like. They just do everything by trial and error. I'm telling you, you can hear the voice of the Lord and He can show you things. It's like, you know, if you were driving on a road, if you had somebody flying up above you, they could see over the hill, tell you what's coming. They could see around a corner. They could give you instruction. It could make a huge difference in the way that you drive and in the things that are happening. But most of us don't listen to the voice of God. We don't have that direction, and so we make mistakes all of the time. We run into problems because we aren't receiving this direction of the Lord. I'm telling you, the Holy Spirit will show you things to come. You know, in 2008, the Lord spoke to my wife and told her that we had just a little bit of money in the stock market. He says, you need to take that out of the stock market. We took it out and the stock market crashed. Then the Lord spoke to us, get back in, and we made 60% profit while other people lost 50%. That's 110% difference because of the voice of the Lord. And some of you think, oh, God wouldn't tell you about the stock market. Sure He will. He wants you to have good investments. He will tell you what's happening. There was a time that the Lord told me I was going to lose a pasture for my horses. And the Lord spoke to me and showed me that. And so even though it was a free pasture, and the guy that I kept the horses there, he just loved having my horses. He gave me no indication. I went ahead. I made other arrangements. And I was going to move my horses on a Tuesday. On Sunday, I went to church. And without any warning, I didn't see this coming. The guy who I was using his pasture, he came up to me and he says, I just can't stand your horses on my property anymore. You got to have them off there by Tuesday. I had already arranged it. I was moving them on Tuesday. God showed me these things to come. And some people think, well, that's a small thing. But if you can't hear God in a small thing, you won't hear God in a big thing. If you can't do that which is least, you can't do that which is greatest. And so I just want to go back and read some verses where Jesus was speaking. He's the author and the finisher of our faith. And in John chapter 10, Jesus said in verse 1, verily, verily, I say unto you. When He says verily, verily, that means truly, truly. Everything that Jesus said was true. But when He had to start out what He was saying by saying verily, verily, it was because what He was going to say was so astounding that most people would reject it and say, oh, that can't be what He means. So He had to start it by saying, I'm telling you the truth. I'm telling you the truth. And He says, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. But he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. He was talking about Himself. He says that later in this chapter. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear His voice, and He calleth His own sheep by name, and leadeth them out. And when He putteth forth His own sheep, He goeth before them, and the sheep follow Him, for they know His voice. And so this is Jesus talking about Himself being our chief shepherd. We have under-shepherds, pastors, people that are anointed by God to represent Him and to speak forth His truth. But He is the chief shepherd, and we are His sheep. And He said twice here that His sheep hear His voice. His sheep know His voice. And yet the average person's experience, they say, I don't hear the voice of God. The truth is, God is speaking to us constantly, 24 hours a day. It's not God speaking that's the problem. It's our hearing. Over in Matthew 13, He says, our hearts have wax gross, and our ears are dull of hearing. Our ears become hardened towards God and towards His voice. But God is speaking, and we hear His voice more than we realize. You know, let me just say some things. This is kind of just introductory as laying a foundation, and you would have to go study this out to get the full impact of it. But I believe even prior to a person being born again, God speaks to them. And one of the ways He does that is through a conscience. Over in Romans chapter 2, it talks about their conscience either bearing witness and convicting them or excusing them. But one of the ways that God speaks to a person, even a lost man, is through a conscience. And like I said, this would take a lot more explanation. I'm not going to go into it right now, but I've got a series out entitled, Who Told You You Were Naked? And that's talking about that God anticipated the fall of man. And when we ate of the tree of knowledge, I don't believe He created us originally with a conscience, this intuitive knowledge of right and wrong. He didn't create man that way, but He anticipated us rejecting Him. And when we ate of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, that is descriptive of the conscience. And that's when a conscience came into people. And every single person who has ever lived on this planet has this intuitive knowledge of right and wrong, a conscience that condemns them or gives them confidence. And that is a God-given thing. That's how God speaks to us. So even prior to salvation, people have a conscience that will show them that things are wrong. In Romans chapter 1, it talks about that the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all unrighteousness and all ungodliness of man. If you look that up in the Greek, it means that it's already been revealed. The King James says the wrath of God is revealed from heaven, but if you look it up, it means it's already been revealed. It's a done deal. And inside of every person is this intuitive knowledge. And in verses 19 and 20, it goes on to say that even His eternal and power have been revealed unto people so that they are without excuse. Every person who's ever lived on this planet has a conscience. That's one of the ways that God speaks to us. Now, that is not a perfect way of speaking to us. And as believers, we have a lot better way of hearing the voice of God than just our conscience. Because the Scripture talks about that you can sear your conscience with a hot iron over in 1 Timothy chapter 4. It talks about that you can deaden your conscience to the conviction of the Holy Spirit. That's described in Romans chapter 1 about you can take progressive steps away. Nobody ever just comes from having been innocent and pure into being just totally evil all in one step. You just violate your conscience step by step by step. You make yourself a little bit more dull of hearing, and oh, it's a process. But every person, even unbelievers, have this intuitive knowledge of right and wrong on the inside. And you will hear some people say that, no, they have no conviction. They are living a totally ungodly life against everything that the Bible teaches, and they have no conviction. There's one of two things happening right there. Either, first of all, they're totally lying, which is usually the case. The truth is, in their heart, they know difference. They're just in a mind game, and they are voicing something. They're actually being hypocritical, but at a heart level, they know they're wrong. And I know this to be true because when I was in Vietnam, I talked to so many people who were living like animals. They were doing dope. They were having all these sexual encounters. They were doing things that they would have never done back in the States. But they thought, who's going to know? Who's going to get, you know, who's going to find out? This is what everybody else was doing. And they just violated their conscience. But on a heart level, they knew they were wrong. I had people tell me that they were an atheist and that they had no conviction from the Holy Spirit. They did not believe that there was a God. But when the bullets got to flying, when the bombs got to dropping, all of these atheists were crying out to God at the top of their lungs. When we were facing death, many people who just were living in sin like there was no God, there was no accountability, boy, they started crying out and confessing their sins. So my point is, some people say that they have no conviction, but it's an absolute lie. Even a lost man has a conscience and knows intuitively right from wrong. Now, there are some people that, like I was saying, just are saying that they have no conscience, that they have no conviction, but the truth is they really do. They're just trying to deny it. They're overruling it. But if a person can truthfully say that there is zero conviction, that they have no conscience, and if that isn't a hypocritical statement, then according to Romans chapter 1, you've already passed the point of no return. You've been given over to a reprobate mind, and God's quit convicting you. Because it says in John chapter 6, verse 44, that no man can come unto the Father except the Spirit draw him. You have to be drawn by God to Him. And if you could truthfully say, there is no conviction, I don't love God, I don't believe that there's a God, I don't think there's any accountability, I have zero conviction about my ungodliness and the way that I'm living. And if you could say that without any hypocrisy, it means you're already reprobate, is what the Scripture says in Romans chapter 1. That means God has taken all conviction away from you and He's not speaking to you at all. That's a terrible state to be in. And man, if you know, that's the last stop on a train to total damnation. If you truthfully were saying something like that, boy, you need to get off that train right here. This is the last stop. It's your last opportunity. Man, those are some strong statements right there. So going back to John chapter 10, His sheep hear His voice. So let me say this, everybody has this intuitive knowledge of right and wrong that we call a conscience. But when you get born again, man, it is totally different because now you become His sheep and God speaks to you. And like these verses are saying, His sheep hear His voice. God is speaking, and if you are truly born again, God will speak to you. So let me say this, that if you don't know for certain that you have been born again, that your nature has been changed, if you haven't experienced God on a heart level to where He came in, and like it says in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17, if any man is in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things have passed away. All things have become new. If you haven't become new in your heart, this isn't talking about you being perfect, because that's a process that won't be finalized until we go to be with the Lord, and we are constantly growing and overcoming things. But I'm saying, if you haven't had an encounter to where God just literally changed you on the inside and stuff, then you aren't His sheep. And that's one of the reasons that you don't hear His voice. So in this process of learning how to hear the voice of God, the very first thing you need to do is to respond to the leading and the conviction of the Holy Spirit about how you need to make Jesus Christ your personal Savior and Lord. There's many scriptures. I'm not going to take time to turn over and focus on this a lot, but there's many scriptures about people saying, Lord, Lord, and they call out to Him and they claim to be servants of the Lord, but He's going to say, depart from me, I never knew you. There's people that acknowledge God exists, but that is not salvation. It says over in James chapter 2, it says, you believe that there's one God, you do well. The devils also believe and tremble. But won't you know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead? Just believing that God exists doesn't mean that you've done anything that the devil hasn't done. The devil believes that God exists, but the devil has never submitted himself, yielded, humbled himself, and repented and received Jesus as his Lord. See, there are people who believe that God exists and they think that that's sufficient. No, it's not. You have to approach God through Jesus. Jesus said in John chapter 14, verse 6, He says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man, this means there are no exceptions, no man cometh unto the Father but by me. Jesus came down from heaven to the earth. He was God manifest in the flesh, and Jesus became a man, and God Almighty, God the Father, placed our sin into Jesus. 2 Corinthians 5:21 says, For He, God the Father, hath made Him, Jesus, who knew no sin, to be made sin for us, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. And so God placed our sin into Jesus, and then He punished that sin in the physical body of Jesus. Jesus died for our sins, and the only way you can have a relationship with God the Father and be born again, to be changed, is to humble yourself and admit you're a sinner, receive that forgiveness by putting faith and saying, Father, thank you for what you've done through Jesus, and I receive that and I put my faith in Him. And you have to humble yourself. Or here's the way that the Bible states it over in Romans chapter 10, verse 9. It says, if you will confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus. That's more than just mouthing the words and saying Lord Jesus. It means from your heart you are making Him your Lord. You're making Him your master. Now, it doesn't mean that you'll never sin, but it means that you are saying, God, I'm sorry, and I receive Jesus as my Lord. I commit my life unto Him. I follow You. I am making a decision that You are Lord. You're getting off the throne, and you're letting Jesus become a Lord. Again, you will make mistakes, and there is forgiveness and mercy from God, but I'm saying you have to be willing to turn your life over. See, the devil, he acknowledges that God exists, but he has never yielded his life to God. He's never submitted his life to God. He lives in opposition to Him. And there's a lot of people today who say, oh yeah, I believe that there's a God. There's even people that'll say, I believe that Jesus is the Son of God. But have you submitted your life to Him? Have you humbled yourself? Have you repented of doing things your own way? And are you submitting yourself to God? If you haven't done that, you need to make Jesus Lord. So Romans 10:9 says, if you will confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you shall be saved. For with the heart man believes, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Down in verse 13, whosoever will call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. But you have to call. You have to, it doesn't just happen automatically. Just acknowledging that God exists is not salvation. And we have multitudes, millions of people today who believe that God exists. They acknowledge Him, but they think basically it's based on a performance deal. And if they live better than the average person, then they will be accepted with God. That's not true. God doesn't grade on a curve. It's not if you are better than somebody else. The Bible says in Romans 3:23 that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. All of us. There is nobody that can approach God based on their own goodness and stand before God and say, God, I did the best I could. Is that good enough? No. All of us have sinned and come short of God's perfect standard. The only way that you can have relationship with God is to just receive it through Jesus. Jesus paid for our sins, and He took our sin upon Himself and gave His righteousness, which was perfect and pure, unto us if we would just make Him our Lord, if we would submit to Him. So it all depends on your relationship to Jesus. Just acknowledging that He exists, even believing that He paid for sins, doesn't get you saved unless you submit to that, unless you confess Him as your Lord, unless you call out to Him. You may totally believe that God exists. You may totally believe that Jesus was the Son of God and that He came and paid for our sins, but that doesn't grant you salvation unless you believe on Him, unless you submit to Him, unless you commit to Him and make Him the Lord of your life. You know, if you've never done that, you need to do that. And the reason I'm saying all of these things, I'm talking about how to hear the voice of God, and it says His sheep hear His voice. If you aren't one of His sheep, if you have never come into the fold, if you haven't been born again, if you do not have a personal relationship with Jesus, then you are going to be left to basically hearing the voice of your conscience. And you'll have this intuitive knowledge of right and wrong. But man, there is so much more to hearing the voice of God than just letting your conscience guide you. Your conscience, it will show you right from wrong, but you'll never hear God speak to you and tell you specifically how much He loves you and things like that, just listening to the voice of your conscience. Once you get born again and become a sheep, a child of the Lord, I guarantee you, it opens up a brand new door of having God speak to you and things happening in your life. And so if you've never made Jesus your personal Lord, that's the first step in hearing the voice of God. And that is just crucial. And it's really simple. Jesus has paid it all. You know, so many people teach that, well, you got to pray and you got to seek God and you got to ask Him to forgive you. The truth is, He has already died for your sins. It's not like you cry out and say, oh God, would You please save me? And then God does something to save you. No, before you and I were ever born, 2,000 years ago, Jesus came to this earth and Jesus paid for the sins of the entire world. 1 John chapter 2, verse 2 says, He is the propitiation. That means the atoning sacrifice for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. Jesus died for the sins of the whole world before you and I were ever born. Our sins have already been paid for through the sacrifice of Jesus. It's not a question of will He forgive you. He has forgiven you. Will you receive that forgiveness? How do I receive it? By making Jesus your Lord and by humbling yourself and committing yourself, not just acknowledging that He did it, but thanking Him for it and saying, Father, I receive it. I put faith. I believe that I am now forgiven through what Jesus did. He paid my debt. This is the reason the Bible calls it good news. It would be bad news that God could forgive your sins if you will do everything just right. And if you will do that, puts the burden upon you, and you and I would blow it again if it was dependent upon us. But the truth is, Jesus has paid for your sins. Sins have been forgiven. It's not a question of will God do it. It's just a question of will you receive it? Will you make Jesus your Lord? Will you believe on Him? And I tell you, if you'll do that, that ushers you in to being His sheep, and you begin to hear God speaking to you because you are now changed on the inside. God will speak to you in ways that you have never experienced before. I mean, what I want to do is just pray a simple prayer with you. This prayer isn't magic. It's not like if you will just say these words with me that, boom, you're automatically cleansed and forgiven and everything's right. No, the Bible says you have to believe it with your heart. You have to say it, but you also have to believe it. But if you will pray with me, and if you will believe what I'm leading you to pray in this prayer, you could be born again right now. So you don't have to pray these exact words, but this is based on Romans 10:9, and I just want to lead you in a simple prayer. And if you have acknowledged that God exists, even that Jesus is the Son of God, but if you've never committed your life to Him and received that salvation, just pray with me right now. Say something like this. Say, Father, I'm sorry for my sin. That's acknowledging that you're a sinner. You say, I'm sorry for my sin, but I believe that Jesus paid for my sin. And now I receive that salvation. Jesus, I make You the Lord of my life. I believe that You rose from the dead. I believe that You're alive now and that You come and live on the inside of me, that my heart is changed. I am born again right now through faith in Jesus Christ, and I receive my new nature in Jesus' name. You know, if you prayed that, and if you believed it, then the salvation that was already provided for you just became a reality, and you became a brand new person on the inside. Man, that's awesome. You know, I have a book entitled The New You and Holy Spirit. And I'm going to, and as I go through this teaching, I'm going to be talking about how important the baptism of the Holy Spirit is to hearing the voice of God. And this book will cover what true salvation is, and it will cover the baptism of the Holy Spirit, which includes speaking in tongues and being able to hear God's voice. And if you will contact us, we will be glad to send that book to any person who prayed with me today and became a brand new creature. It's our gift to you. So going back again to John chapter 10, and let me just point out a couple of things. In verse 3, John chapter 10, verse 3, this is Jesus speaking, and He says, to him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear His voice. And He calleth His own sheep by name, and leadeth them out, and when He putteth forth His own sheep, He goeth before them, and the sheep follow Him, for they know His voice. So one of the points that I've been making is that God is constantly speaking. And that we, as born-again believers, and again, I stress, if you have never truly committed your life to the Lord, you aren't going to hear the Lord. You don't have access to the voice of the Lord the same as a person who has committed their life to the Lord. Now, He still speaks to people who aren't born again, but it's differently. He basically is pointing everybody to making this decision. It's all about, have you made Jesus your personal Lord? And if you have not made that commitment, He's going to speak to you about receiving your salvation. Why would He speak to you about all these other things? You know, Jesus said this, "What good is it if a man shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul?" God is going to direct you towards dealing with Him. And have you made Jesus your personal Lord? So that's the first step. But once you do that, then God begins to speak to you. And the Scripture here says that His sheep, those who have received this salvation and made Jesus their Lord, they hear His voice. And again, I know that there's a lot of people. I deal with primarily Christians. I'm a teacher to the body of Christ, and in our meetings I'm teaching people who have already made a commitment of their life to the Lord, how to grow and how to receive from the Lord. And the vast majority of people that I minister to would sit here and say, "I just have trouble hearing the voice of God." But this says that you don't, that God speaks to you. So let me start making some points here. One of the reasons that we struggle to hear the voice is because the clutter and the clamor, the noise of this world drowns out the voice of God. Over in 1 Kings chapter 19, you see where God spoke to Elijah, but He spoke in a still, small voice. You know, God is God, and God can do anything He wants to do. And there are examples in Scripture where God spoke in an audible voice. There's an example in Numbers where He spoke through a donkey and opened up its mouth, and a donkey literally spoke to Balaam. God can thunder. God can do all of these miraculous things. In 1 Kings chapter 19, there was an earthquake, there was a wind, and then there was a fire, and these were dramatic, spectacular things. But it says God wasn't in any of those. And the way that He finally spoke to Elijah was just in a still, small voice. The primary way that God speaks is not through the spectacular, not through an audible voice, not through an open vision. He can do all of those things. He has done it. I believe He still does miraculous things like that. But the primary way that God speaks to us today is just in this still, small voice. And it can be drowned out by other voices around us. There are so many Scriptures. I've mentioned some of these earlier, but in Proverbs chapter 3 and chapter 4, it talks about "attend unto my words." And that Hebrew word means to prick up the ears like a mule or like a donkey, a deer. You know, when they hear a sound, their ears prick up and they can turn those ears and tune and focus on what they're hearing. This is the word picture that we need to tune our hearing towards God. God is speaking constantly, but we have to tune our hearing. The sad fact is most of us are tuned to the voice of this world. We spend more time listening to the clamor, the clutter, the voice of the devil that's coming through all of the different avenues at us. We spend more time listening to that than we do to God. And so the voice of God is drowned out because of the volume of all of this world. You know, I had an instance when Jamie and I held a meeting in Richmond, Virginia. And then afterwards, we stayed around and we went to the Capitol, the United States Capitol in Washington, D.C., and we were touring and going around. And it just so happened that this is when Ronald Reagan died, and they had his body lie in state, and they had a procession of cars that came by, and we observed all of those things. So we were in Washington, D.C. during all of that, and I remember walking down what they call the mall there in Washington, and if you've done that, there's a lot of gravel walks, and I was walking on this gravel, and I mean, it was a mile or a mile and a half from like the Capitol building all the way down to the Lincoln Memorial and all of these different things. And so I was walking along there and looking at all the sights. And of course, there was people all around. And I remember as I was walking that I was walking on gravel and I should have been able to hear my footsteps, but I couldn't hear a single footstep. And I remember thinking about that this is strange. I'm walking on gravel. I should be able to hear every time I'm taking a step, but I couldn't. And I noted it. I didn't think a lot about it, but I did note it. And I thought, this is strange that I can't hear me walking on this gravel. And then right after we got through with that, we went and spent a couple of days in the Shenandoah National Park that is not far from Washington, D.C. And I was walking on the Appalachian Trail, and there There was nobody around. It was out in the middle of nowhere, and every footstep that I took was so loud. It was like you could nearly hear it echoing off of the hills and things around. I mean, it was just amazing the contrast that in Washington, D.C., I was walking on gravel and I couldn't hear a single thing. Then when I walked on the Appalachian Trail, which was also gravel and sticks and dirt and stuff like that, I could hear every single footstep. And the Lord just spoke to me and He says, you know what? Your footsteps when you were walking on that gravel in Washington, D.C. was just as loud, but the difference is there was so much ambient noise out here. There was people talking. There was other people walking around. There were planes flying overhead. There was traffic going by. And there was all of this other noise. It just drowned out these footsteps. But I was making noise when I walked on that gravel, the same as I was when on the Appalachian Trail. The difference was it was just drowned out in Washington, D.C. But when I got out there by myself and there was no other noises around, I could hear things that I couldn't hear before. And I use that to illustrate that God is speaking to every single person. If you are born again, you are His sheep, and God is speaking to you, and you do hear His voice, but it's just drowned out by so much stuff that goes on in our life. Boy, that is a huge statement right there. And I don't think that most people are aware of this. The lifestyle that we live today is not conducive to hearing the voice of God. You know, there was this man named Sadhu Sundar Singh. Sadhu is the name for holy man in India. So this guy's name was actually Sundar Singh. And I read a book about him 40-something years ago. And this man, he lived back, I guess he was probably born in the 1800s, but he lived in the early 1900s. And in India, he was just famous. He saw multiple people raised from the dead in one day. This guy saw tremendous things happen, and he was famous in India. And so because of that, they set up meetings in the United States, and he had to take a ship over. This is before they flew. And I think it was in 1910, he came over by ship to the United States, took, I don't know, 20 or 30 days to make that trip across. And so because it was such a long trip, he had a year's worth of speaking engagements lined up in the United States. He got off of the boat in New York City, walked around in New York City for about 30 minutes, and he got back on the boat and went back to India, canceled all of his meetings. And the reason was, he says, these people, their lifestyle, they can't hear from God. These people are too busy. And this was in 1910. Think of what he would have thought if he did this in 2016, 2017. You know what? Our lifestyle, it's just like I was talking about, all of this noise that's around us keeps us from hearing our footsteps. All of the stuff that's coming at us, it hinders us hearing the voice of the Lord. You know, the Scripture says in Psalms 46:10, "Be still and know that I am God." And I believe that you could actually say, be still, and you will hear the voice of God. And this isn't talking about just being motionless, but it's talking about that we need to quiet ourselves. We need to unplug. You know, I travel a lot. I'm around a lot of people in airports and things like this. And I mean, literally, I have looked around and been able to see 50 or 60 people in an area and looked, and every single person has their phone out, has their iPad out, they're doing something. Did you know that the lifestyle that most people live today, they just are never unplugged? I've actually been on trips and people say that, you know, we were overseas and they got a call in the middle of the night because people didn't know that they were overseas and that there was a time difference, and so they got woke up and it disrupted their sleep and stuff. And I tell them, I said, you know, my phone has an on and off switch, and I turn the thing off. But there are some people that never turn their phone off. They are just slaves to it. I see people that'll be eating lunch or supper with somebody, and they get phone calls and they get text, and they're just sitting here on a phone. There's people sitting here eating, and both of them are on a phone, and they aren't even talking to each other. They're doing something else. Again, I'm not one of these that says that, you know, we ought to throw our phones away. Man, it's a convenience. I use it to a degree. But you cannot become slaves to all of the different things that are coming at us today. Did you know previous generations, they didn't have access to news the way that we do? Today, we hear if there's a shooting, if there's a bombing, if there's something that happens on the opposite side of the world, we hear about it in real time, live pictures. And we are just inundated with information, and it can harden your heart towards God. In Mark chapter 4, it talks about that the cares of this life, the deceitfulness of riches, the lust of other things enters in, and it chokes the Word. And today, I believe that this generation of Christians is more plugged into the world than any group of Christians that have ever lived. And I tell you, this world is not reflecting the godly values of God. It's speaking things that are contrary to God. There is hatred. There's bitterness. They focus on the negative. There is depression and discouragement. You know, I just had one of my students in the Bible school come up to me yesterday, and she told me that she was fighting depression and what's wrong. And I said, well, you're focused on something besides what the Word of God says. And I had a class to teach, and I didn't really have time to talk to her. I just gave her that little bit. And I said, something has gained your attention. And it's taken your attention off of the things of God, and you're thinking about the things of the world. So anyway, during the next break, she came up and she had been thinking about what I said, and her husband had died. So she was a widow and she was going through a store and she saw some albums, music albums, and there was a song that her and her husband used to sing a long time ago, and it reminded her of her husband. So she bought that album, and for the last week she had been listening to this album that had one of her favorite songs on there. But overall, you know, most of it was about these love songs and talking about love being rejected, and it was sad, and, you know, this person left me and all this. And she realized that through this, she had taken her attention off of the Lord, and she had got to thinking about all of this junk and all of this, you know, this country and Western music. It's all about, you know, leaving your mate, losing this, falling off the bar stool, your truck goes away, your dog bit you. I mean, it's just all of this terrible, sad stuff. And she had been focused on that stuff, and it caused depression. And we are just inundated. There's people that can't, when they're at home, they always leave the television set on. Even if they aren't watching it, they just can't be still. They can't be quiet. The Scripture specifically says in Psalms 46:10, be still and know that I am God. If you aren't still, and this isn't talking about just motionless, but if you don't unplug, if you don't somehow or another turn off things and give God an opportunity to speak without all of the volume of this world and all of these other things coming at you, it'll drown out this still, small voice of God. You know, there was a time that I woke up, this has been a number of years ago, but in my sleep, I just had this banner come across that said Psalms 46:10, this huge banner, and it just had that scripture reference on it. I've quoted Psalms 46:10 hundreds, thousands of times, but in my dream, I just couldn't for the life of me remember what Psalms 46:10 said. So when I got up, I mean, I went straight in, I looked up Psalms 46:10, which says, be still and know that I am God. And I just felt like God was speaking that to me specifically. And that was a day that I was going to be able to be at home. I had other things planned that I was going to do. But Jamie, she went into town. She was doing shopping and stuff. I was home by myself. And I just decided that I was going to make a deliberate attempt to be still. And again, I don't think that that's just talking about not moving, but it's talking about stilling your heart, not being occupied with all of these other things. And I went out and sat on our deck. It was in the summer. And I sat in this chair. And just to be sure, I wanted to be still physically. I didn't move. I just sat there. And I think I sat there for an hour and a half or 2 hours, and I didn't even move. All I did was just breathe, but I never moved. I just sat there. And there's a lot of things that happen. But you know, one of the things that happened was I became aware of things that typically I would miss. when you're busy and you're walking and you're doing things and you've got something to do, did you know I didn't notice some of the things? I noticed that there were chipmunks at our house. I mean, we must have had 2 or 3 dozen chipmunks that were just constantly going everywhere. I noticed birds. I heard birds. I could hear the wind blowing in the tree. That, you know, I'm sure that it happens that way all of the time, but I just missed it because I was busy and I didn't focus on those things. I was so still that I had a deer walk up not more than a foot or two from me, and I was downwind from this deer, so I guess it didn't see me. Deer have poor eyesight, and this deer saw me, but I was so stationary. It came up, and I mean, it nearly put its nose to my nose, and because I was just so still. And I noticed the deer. I noticed ants. I noticed all kinds of stuff. And, you know, all of that stuff was there constantly, but when I'm busy, I just don't notice it. And my point in giving that illustration is to say that God is with us constantly. If you are His sheep, you hear His voice. God is speaking constantly, but we drowned out the voice of God by being so involved in everything else. You know, today people love to talk about being multitaskers. If you ask the average person, how are you? Oh, I'm busy. And I mean, they'll just, it seems like that is a badge of honor that, man, I can do all of these things at the same time. I'm so busy. I'm doing all of this. I'm working. I'm taking my kids to all of these practices. We do this. We go constantly. And we brag about it. But did you know it's really hurtful to hearing the voice of God? If you are going to truly hear the voice of God, I'm just getting started in this series. But you know, already I've identified some serious problems. And one of them is that we just are so busy that we don't give time to God to speak to us. You know, in generations past, they didn't have 200-300 television stations that they could watch that would occupy their attention. They didn't have phones that they carried in their pockets. They couldn't get texts. They couldn't be on it just looking at YouTube and looking at the newest thing going. They didn't have something that occupied them. There was times that people would work hard. They'd come home, they'd eat, and they'd sit on the porch. And they'd just look out, and they would notice, you know, what was going on around them. They would get to thinking about, what's my life all about? They had this time where they were still, and they heard the voice of God. I'm telling you, our modern lifestyle, this man Sadhu Sundar Singh that I was talking about, if he was to come to the United States today, I believe he'd turn around and go back again, because you know what? We're just too busy to hear the voice of God. So I hadn't actually got into talking about the nuts and the bolts of this yet, but already I've uncovered a major problem. And I'm telling you, as I'm speaking to you, I'm speaking to myself. I get too busy. And I'm not busy with the things of this world. It's not that I'm plugged into the internet and all these kind of things, and I don't spend a lot of time on the internet and all this. I get reports and I get emails from my assistant and things like this, but I don't spend any time on there compared to most people. I've heard that the average person spends multiple hours a day on their phone doing all of these kind of things. I don't do that, and yet I'm still too busy. And I'm doing so much stuff that it's not unusual. Like this morning, I got up at 5 o'clock. I'll be going until 5 or 6. I'll work 12 or 15 hours today, and then I'll go home and I'll do certain things. And I mean, it's just, I'm busy. I'm too busy. And I'm praying and asking God to give me wisdom, how I could slow down, how I could spend more time. Every time I take time and just, you know, spend a day fasting and praying or unplug and I just focus my attention on the Lord, I mean, without exception, God speaks something to me. He gives me new direction. He shows me something that I need to fix, that I need to do. And it makes me wonder why I don't do this more often. But the truth is that we just get busy and we drown out the voice of God with all of the other voices that are vying for our attention, competing for our attention. So as we talk about how to hear God's voice, you need to recognize if you are born again, God is constantly speaking. It's not God who's not speaking. It's us who haven't attended to His voice. We haven't tuned our hearing to Him, and it's because we're letting this world drowned out the voice.